I like to sing, dance, pretend, and I like to have
All right. Welcome to the fourth official podcast and one of our most intense intros ever. My name's Austin David, if you haven't heard. I mean, again, 46 episodes. If you listen to like half of them, you should probably know by now. But I'm here with Brad Newton. Brad?
Hi.
That broke the mic.
Yeah, it did. Hi.
Hi. Gavin, he's
dead.
Being... Yep.
He's dead.
Kyle?
Dead.
And Brent?
Well...
He tweeted his location today.
I think that was proof of life.
He literally tweeted.
There wasn't a picture attached to it, so I don't know if he was the one who did that, but ICE is getting kind of crafty with their tweeting, because it said, I'm at the Wawa on 3140 Vineland Road in Kissimmee, and that's awfully specific.
And Vineland Road was in all caps, so it's like a cry for help?
Was it?
It's just like, I'm at Vineland Road.
I'm at the Wawa on 3140 Vineland Road in Kissimmee.
Maybe we should have gone to help.
I didn't see it when you tweeted it. So
it was like 10 minutes after the fact. Gavin's like, hey, this is happening. So
Gavin tweeted, I'm on my way.
He's not on the way here, that's for sure.
Yeah, nope.
Lame. Anyway, there's not a lot Orlando City stuff to talk about, or OCB, or Pride. There's some big stuff, but not a lot. So it's going to be a pretty short episode. So for those of you who like short episodes, this is right up your alley.
Yeah, if you don't like to listen to us talk.
And the Macho Man Randy Savage soundboard, of course.
Yep, well, Macho Man's with us forever.
Forever and
what
ever.
You said about me a few days ago, yeah. And I don't think that you can separate business from friendship. I'm your friend, but if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you. Don't you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good old Macho Man.
1,000,000%.
Oh, you know what? We were gonna go with the Macho Man song for our intro.
Well, bummer. We'll just have to tease it for next time.
Yep, Macho Man intro next time, episode 47. See, that's one of those ones that was just insanely loud.
Yeah.
Hey, okay, so Orlando City won their first preseason matchup 5-0 against Jacksonville University, and people are complaining because they didn't win 9-0 like New York City FC did. Yeah. And they say this team's gonna be just as bad because that's why.
Sure.
It frustrates me. Because, and it's been like 3 years now, but some fans just, they're not smart,
man,
when it comes to these things.
I don't know if it's just Orlando in general has a little brother complex, but man, that's, if you're comparing preseason wins.
Yeah, no, because all wins matter.
Right, okay. No, but if you're comparing preseason wins to NYCFC, that's some small club shit right there.
Kind of. And you know what was even funnier? When Orlando City tweeted out that they won 5-0, a bunch of New York City fans came out and said, you didn't win 9-0 like New York City, and those college guys just played too? That's pathetic. And they started trolling the Orlando City account. So both teams have kind of, like, both teams' fans have.
Oh, right. I mean, that's going to be the case. But, I mean, who cares? I mean, honestly, you're playing against the Jacksonville University Dolphins, who, for all accounts, aren't like a major organization, or you know, they're not a force in college soccer. So we'll put it that way. Who cares? Honestly, all these are doing, they're just, it's fitness and just trying to get your tactics straight. That's all these are. If they won 2-0, that would still be okay. Like, who cares? If they lost 1-0, like, maybe that's cause for panic. But I think by getting the result that they got, I think it's a positive sign, especially with the formation changes and roster turnover that's happening and players that are slowly, you know, still adjusting to Jason Kreiss. It's going to be a work in progress. It's not going to be a very smooth transition that some people might have thought it would have been, myself included, but it's still a process. Got to trust the process.
Trust the process. Just like the Orlando Magic and the Philadelphia 76ers. Which of those two teams is working out? The Magic.
Yeah.
I blame the DeVos family.
We're soon going to know what the atomic weight of polonium is.
Delicious?
It's delicious. I would have also accepted Snacktacular.
Sponsored by Oscar Mayer.
Yeah.
God.
That's going to be your Board of Education coming up, folks. If you're a parent,
I'm so glad we
homeschool your kids.
I'm so glad I finished school before this happened.
Me too.
Congrats, Mr. Valedictorian, by the way.
I'm valedictorian of my graduating class. Does that mean I'm the smartest person on the show? Maybe.
You're definitely smarter than Gavin.
I mean, that's not really setting a bar.
It's true. Well, neither Kyle or Gavin went to college.
Sure.
That doesn't mean they're not smart, but... Anyways, 5-0 win. Jonathan Spector scored a goal. Wasn't really a goal. It, like, bounced in after he hit it. Like, took 3 deflections, but they're like, he scored. And then they tweeted it, and people were like, oh my god, he's so amazing. He's going to be the best defender ever because he can score goals. And then other fans were like, he didn't score 4 goals like Seb Hines did. God, he's trash.
Yeah.
Kaká scored. Haji Berry scored. Carlos Rivas scored, and Christian Aguita scored. Everybody scored. Good news for everybody. Guess who didn't score?
Nocerino.
He didn't score. But there are 3 guys that didn't even play in the game because they're back at home in Orlando, not in Jacksonville with the preseason training. Brian Rochez, David Mateos, and Devron Garcia have, and I quote, no future at Orlando City.
Didn't we kind of talk about that last time?
We sure did. But now there was an article that both the Orlando Sentinel and MLS Soccer wrote that said they have no future, and they quoted Jason Kreiss on it. We speculated they're probably gone, and now they're gone. Well, they're not gone because they literally can't find a team that will take them.
Yeah, they're kind of just there.
They're taking up a lot of money. And it's worth noting that none of them were at training today. So
they're getting paid to sit on the couch, which, if you think about it, is the best position in all of sports.
I mean, God, I'd love to do that.
The backup quarterback for Tom Brady. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's got it pretty good.
Didn't he, like, injure himself and, like, was out for the season?
No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure, like, he went down with injury, missed a few games, and then the third stringer had to play.
Oh, yeah, I think you might be right. There's something about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard pretty good.
There we go. So, yeah, Rochez, I mean.
But in general, backup quarterback to Tom Brady is probably the best job in football.
Yeah. Or Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you never play and you get paid.
I'll give you those 2.
Right. So, Rochez, a lot of promise. Never really made anything of it. Dave Mateos, well, I mean, most people blamed him for the 60 goals that Orlando City gave in, but, I mean, that's hardly justifiable. They also blame Seb Hines, but, again, you can't blame just one player. You can blame him for a few goals because he, you know, fell down and passed back bad passes, but that's neither here nor there. And then Devron Garcia, I mean, he never cracked the first team. He was OCB last year and really wasn't, like, spectacular. Again, he's like 19 years old, but didn't show enough promise to the OCB coaches to keep him. So they tried, didn't work out, and now both Hondurans are on the trading block.
Hey, I mean, the roster is going to get some overhaul once Jason Kreis came in and once Adrian Heath left. You're transitioning from one system that players might not be best suited for to another. That's just kind of going to happen.
Yeah, it's true.
And, I mean, you're kind of looking at stuff like that with the Pride, too. I mean, there hasn't been exactly a coaching overhaul there. But I think the focus has been shifted more towards results than necessarily...
building a fan base, building, like they were last year.
Yeah, they got people excited for the team, and they learned pretty quickly that if there isn't a result on the field, then people aren't going to be as excited for it.
There were still a lot of people that showed up and like supported throughout, though, even if they weren't winning.
Oh, yeah, but I think it's still going to... You're going to be frustrated when the second half of your season that you don't get a victory. So
true. And, you know, there's no Alex Morgan. And yeah. Rachel Hill's not joining the team until midway through the season because she's finishing college, which, you know, credit to her.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's not something that you can really hold against her. Like, that's a priority, so...
Especially with the women's soccer game the way it is, then it doesn't necessarily pay, like, a butt ton of
anything,
money.
Anything, really. Right. Honestly, the way the CBA works out and whatever might actually happen, you might have to honestly just look at that 1 year with Alex Morgan and just sort of take that for what it was.
Yeah.
And even then, in a limited capacity, because she wasn't there the whole time.
Yeah. And if she doesn't come back, it's just...
It sucks, because that's, you know...
They gave away the farm for her, basically.
Yeah, they gave up a lot of picks to Portland to get her, and
every Orlando Pride fan has an Alex Morgan jersey, just about, or Kaylin Kyle, and she's not here anymore.
When you think about it, I mean, you basically gave up Lindsey Horan to get Alex Morgan, which
it wasn't a bad deal.
Wasn't a bad deal at the time,
mm-hmm.
But.
Lindsey Horan's really like a promising young player.
She's really good too. Yeah. I mean, it's not. She had 46 goals in her tenure at PSG, and she only played in 58 games. So,
but again, PSG just like they just beat down every single opponent that they face.
Lyon.
Sorry, that I'm thinking of Lyon.
Yeah.
PSG's. Also decent, though.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah. We'll get to the Pride in a little bit. Other Orlando City news. They're back in town. They got a preseason game coming up. They're, I believe, playing the Rowdies is the next game that they play.
I believe so.
Huh. Too bad no one can go to it. Except for, you know, media people. I'm trying to think. So Orlando City obviously, you know, released their preseason schedule a few weeks ago, and Orlando City B also released their preseason schedule. Let's see. Okay, so yeah, Jacksonville, they played on the 11th. So Saturday at 11 a.m., Tampa Bay Rowdies at Sylvan Lake Park. Which is, again, a closed door scrimmage. So I might try and go out to that.
You're still going to see both supporters groups claim a victory.
Why?
Well, because if no one was able to see it, no one can.
It's like the tree falls down in a forest and no one's around to hear it. Does it make a sound? Yeah.
Yep. Right. Who's going to be able to feed it aside from the media?
Yeah. So if a soccer game happens and no one's around to see it, does anyone really win?
Fake news, people. Fake news.
Stay woke. So, yeah, Rowdies play on the 11th, and they play the 15th against the Philadelphia Union, 19th against Toronto, and 25th at the Orlando City Stadium against St. Louis FC.
Last year I went to the training scrimmage against Toronto at Champions Gate, which they're doing again on the 19th. That's usually an open-door one that people just sort of take their lawn chairs out to. And
they don't even need lawn chairs. There's bleachers there. They just walk up and sit down, start watching.
That scrimmage last year was notable because I got to ask Breck Shea and Kyle Aaron if they thought a hot dog was a sandwich.
I may do that.
I tried to ask a cop, but as soon as he saw me point a camera in his face, he went, no.
You could have just had the camera running and recorded the sound.
Well, the problem was he was like flanked by like Brazilian families that were like standing there like taking pictures. And as soon as he saw a microphone and a camera in my hand, he was like, no, no, no. And had to go into the locker room. So I was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, it's fair. Should have tried to get some other guys, though.
Honestly, I had my like sights set on asking one of the world's most famous soccer players the most ridiculous question I could possibly think of at the moment. So my priorities were a little shifted.
Fair. That's very understandable.
I remember Adrian Heath saw me snapping pictures and was just giving me like the stink eye the entire time. He was like, and God, I can't remember what coach, because they were all like standing around like talking, and like some of the shit that was coming out of their mouths was like the most ridiculous stuff I'd ever heard.
Yeah, no,
life.
Right?
And so one of the coaches walks over, he goes, "You're not recording right now, are you?" I'm like, "Oh, no, no, I'm just taking pictures." Because he saw me there, because my camera, I have. For those of you who've never seen me do this before, I have like an SLR, but it's got a tripod and an audio mixer for me to record video to it. So I can plug a microphone in there and I could do sort of remote bugs from there. And it also has a shotgun mic so I could pick up audio around there. And all the coaches around there saw me with a microphone and they're like, you're not recording right now, right?
They have some very interesting conversations, I will say that. Adrian Heath is a very entertaining guy as well.
Yeah, Adrian and trying to remember who all was around there too. I think Harrison Heath was standing next to him, so you get the two of them talking, and that's always going to be interesting.
Yeah. By the way, how about that? Just to mention here, we talked about Harrison Heath and Caitlin Kyle, but Tyler Turner and Tony Presley also apparently a thing.
Sure. That was
what
my
was
phone.
That?
That was my phone that was accidentally not on silent. Because
what was the ringtone for that though?
It's a goal call. It was. Let me try to find it real quick. It's on my computer, so I can actually play it. Oh, okay. Here we go. I got it.
Scores. Thanks, Obama.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to use that one when we were doing the play-by-play for Rollins. So,
damn it, that would have been great.
Yeah,
own goal. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
If only. There's always next year. Anyway, speaking of broadcasting, let's talk about the broadcast team for Orlando City. They just announced it's the same people, basically.
Okay.
There's really nothing that's changed. They're still on TV 27. They're doing more stuff, so a 3-minute pregame, a 30-minute pregame presented by SunPass, the Ford halftime show, and a 30-minute postgame show, which doesn't have a sponsor, and then the Orlando City Insider on channel 9 and channel 27. So you have Mackenzie Thurkill now as the host of Orlando City on TV 27, so she'll be the host of the TV like pregame show and everything. And she is not the sideline reporter anymore. Just to mention here, so she has moved into a full time host position.
Cool, that's good for her.
Tom Traxler is her co-host.
All right, let's get a little inside baseball, but okay.
And then in the booth, it's Jeff Radcliffe and Lewis Neal again. And this time, it's Paul Shaw, the head of the Orlando City Boys Academy. So, yeah. He's cool. The director of coaching for the youth soccer for Orlando City.
Let me know when Ken Griffey's in the booth.
He might be the sideline reporter. Who knows? They are still looking for an Orlando City sideline reporter. So if you can speak fluent English and Spanish and possibly Portuguese, you may be the next Orlando City sideline reporter.
Yep. People are lining up around the block as we speak.
Boy, exciting stuff. All right. Last thing about Orlando City, Chicharito. Why don't we talk more about him? Paul Tenorio wrote an article saying that teams should spend a lot of money on him this summer. And
he disagree, but okay.
He does. He has a small buyout clause, and you know.
But I don't think you plunk a ton of money down on him. I think you probably do what's decent size for MLS,
like a DP $4 million.
Yeah, somewhere in that range,
$4 to $5 million range, like less than Kaká, but still bigger than most like low level DPs.
Exactly. I mean. He's 28.
Do you consider him a mid-level DP, even though he's killing it in the Bundesliga right now?
Yes.
Interesting.
And, I mean, a lot of that reason is simply because you have a guy who could be playing really well right now for Bayer Leverkusen and doing really well in Bundesliga, but I feel uneasy spending Kaká money on Chicharito. You see what I'm getting at there?
But if Kaká is gone, he is the ideal replacement for a Kaká because of the fan base in Orlando.
I agree with you from a marketing standpoint. Tactically, and what's best for your team, probably not. He's the replacement that you get for Kyle Larin.
Right, no, I'm saying like the marketing standpoint. And then when you sell Kyle Larin, you also need a replacement for him.
Exactly. And I think because you're going to want that Kaká replacement more than you're going to need that Kyle Larin replacement.
You have Matias Perez Garcia.
That's not a Kaká replacement.
Same position.
Right, but the skill level is not.
Well, no, of course not. Of course not.
I think if there's any one position where you really want someone of world class talent and
is in the
that caliber, yeah. is your attacking midfielder. I mean, a striker, you can get away with a really good MLS striker, and as long as you have good, really good midfielders, you're going to be in good shape.
Well, they're trying to get Christian Cueva from Sao Paulo, who would be that attacking midfielder. Also, sure. You know,
would be good. I don't have any issue there.
But again, he's a young. Talented midfielder who can initiate offense, which is something they're looking at. So don't expect a Kaká replacement to be someone his age and his caliber. Someone maybe a little less his like, you know, who's like a name that you may recognize, but not necessarily one that's like, oh my God, he is one of the best players in the world.
Juan Mata.
You know, actually, I could see that. I could definitely see that. How old is he now? He's
28.
Yeah.
So he's the same age as Chicharito.
Him and Juan Mata, that would be exciting.
Could you, like, the two of them playing on a team in MLS would wreck.
Yeah. And with Rochez and Kaká gone, that's two DP slots open.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Start it now, folks. Chicharito and Juan Mata to Orlando City.
You have
the hashtag. Get the social media going. Make it happen.
Mexican and a Spaniard playing together.
They both speak Spanish. I mean, what could go wrong?
You do have a former Real Madrid Youth Academy player.
Okay.
Well, Juan Mata's Youth Academy player from Real Madrid.
I thought he was a Youth Academy for Real Oviedo.
No.
Huh. All right, then. And you have a former Real Madrid player in Chicharito.
Yep.
There you go. I mean, just continue the former Real Madrid player.
Pseudo.
Yeah. I mean, well, you have currently Kaká and Dave Mateos. Mateos obviously leaving. But then you bring in Juan Mata and Chicharito. And, you know, you keep that going. Keep the connection going. And then you get Ronaldo. Because that's how it works.
You get Fat Ronaldo to come play.
Fat Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Can he play?
No.
Can he run?
No.
All right. That's it for Orlando City. Let's talk about Orlando City B really quick. Sure. Basically, so Jason Christ confirmed today at training that the reason they signed the backup goalkeeper, Josh Saunders, name escaped me for a second. The reason they signed Josh Saunders is so they could get Earl Edwards to OCB to get him game time. And so that Josh Saunders can sit on the bench and do nothing, basically, unless like Benedict gets hurt.
Kind of expensive for someone to sit on the bench and do nothing, but okay.
Christ said that they felt like they needed an experienced goalkeeper on the bench just in case.
Yeah, I get it.
So, you know, that fills the need. And I think he may or may not have taken a pay cut. You never know. Again, sitting on the bench. But again, this allows Edwards to go and play a lot of games at OCB.
Yeah.
Most games, if not all. And that game time is huge for him. I remember I had him on my radio show last year during the NBA draft, and he was talking about how important it was just to get out there and play because sitting on the bench is really boring.
Yeah.
So that's good for him.
They start some of their preseason matches later on this month. They play at UCF on the Thursday, February 23rd, and then they'll be playing against OKC Energy at IMG Academy in Bradenton.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. So, you know, with that game, you know, they play UCF twice.
Yeah, both games at UCF, the second match being on March 5th. Both those games kind of early, too. The Thursday, February 23rd one's at 10 a.m., and the Sunday, March 5th one is at 11. All these matches are actually kind of early in the day.
They're all based, yeah, except for the Jacksonville one in Jacksonville. That's a 7 p.m. start.
Yeah, they're all before noon start times.
Except for the San Antonio one.
San Antonio one at Eastern Florida State College on March 4th.
Yeah, and again, the Bradenton one is on a Tuesday.
Well, the other two ones against FIU and Montverde Academy are at Sylvan Lake, so those are going to be closed door ones, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'll probably make my way out to a few of those.
So really, if you want to get a good look at OCB before the season starts here in Orlando, your best bet's probably going to be going to UCF.
Yep.
Because I don't know if anyone wants to take a trek out to IMG Academy in Bradenton or Eastern Florida State College.
Unless people live out in Eastern Florida State and they became fans of Orlando City B when they were playing there in the first place.
Yeah, then they probably should have came out when they were there in the beginning.
Very true. Painfully true. All right. Trialist for Orlando City B, Rhys Williams of the Columbia men's soccer team. He's on trial. Former OCB midfielder, defender, Antonio Matarazzo was also from Columbia. He was actually drafted by Orlando City, didn't sign, then signed with Orlando City B because they thought he was decent. Then he didn't come back because they let him go. So we'll see how this guy works out. Dunno. In their press release from Columbia, they called it Orlando City FC of the MLS. So everything is wrong with that. But the kid's from Western Florida, so he's from somewhere near the area. Oh, God, they called him OCFC, too. I'm just, nope, close that tab. I'm done with that. Moving on. Time for the Orlando Pride. Let's talk about this TV deal. The NWSL and A&E Networks announced that historic partnership so that every Saturday at 4 o'clock, a game will be broadcast on the Lifetime Network.
Mm-hmm.
So the game of the week, much like MLS and ESPN or Fox Sports, will get a game of the week on their channels. So it's good. It's a good step in the right direction, and it's a 3-year deal, which means both the TV network and the league feel that they will be around for a long time.
I think it's really good, you know, to see, instead of just sort of occasionally maybe seeing a game on Fox Sports or maybe occasionally seeing a game on ESPN when literally nothing else is on, that you have a network that's going to be dedicated to airing women's soccer in North America. You know, Lifetime is really great for, you know, getting women's sports out there. They at one point, they also broadcast the WNBA games back late 90s, early 2000s.
Back when it was just starting up, right?
Yeah, so I think A&E Networks do a pretty good job of trying to boost women's sports. So it's good to see that, you know, they'll have a dedicated network that'll air something on a regular basis.
Yeah. I'm excited. Speaking of, you know, with the broadcasting and everything, the schedule is going to be coming out soon, either this week or next week, so from what I've been told. So the reason it was pushed back, the schedule release, is because of the TV partnership, and they have to find out which games they actually want to broadcast on TV and then move some times around and make it work for the national broadcasts.
I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that A&E is a is owned by Disney, ABC, and Hearst. So
Disney's the premier sponsor of Orlando City.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but I think one thing that you look at is you do have the potential there for eventual growth into some of your ESPN brands and getting it on, you know, ABC maybe in the future, just because that. Be easy to get those rights moved over from one network that you already own into another brand. So,
yeah, absolutely.
They haven't really announced who's going to be producing or what their on-air personalities are going to be for it yet. I would expect to see some former U.S. Women's National Team players. It's tough to say. I mean, Christine Rampone maybe
is
someone that might be involved in that.
Yeah,
but.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
And so last thing about the Pride. Some of the players are in the W League for the semifinals, which just happened the other day. Perth Glory and Sydney FC played. Perth won 5-1. In that game, Alana Kennedy played for Sydney, and they kind of got wrecked.
Yeah.
Just a bit.
Yeah, you lose 5-1 and
yeah, and well she's a defender, isn't she?
Yeah.
Mm.
Let's not get into it.
Yeah, let's not. Okay, and then the other game, Canberra United against Melbourne City FC. Steph Catley and Laura Alloway were playing for Melbourne. Jasmine Spencer and Lisa Devana played for Canberra, and Melbourne won 1-0. So it'll be Perth against Melbourne City. Which means you're cheering for Steph Catley and Laura Alloway, the two native Australians.
Mm-hmm. Although vicariously, you're also cheering for NYCFC when you do that too. So
disgusting. Forgot about that.
Yeah, because Melbourne City has the same ownership group that Manchester City and NYCFC have. So
City Football Group.
Yeah,
I forgot that David Villa played for Melbourne City. When he was in between clubs.
Yeah. It's fun to forget that.
It really is. So that's
Perth
it for...
Glory are also... They have purple on their kit.
So you're kind of cheering... See, that complicates things.
Yeah, it does.
Damn. All right, well, go for whoever you want to go for
yeah,
at this point.
It's a weird feeling here. On one hand, you do have Orlando City players that are going to be...
Pride players.
Or yeah, Pride players. Sorry about that. That are going to be, on there. But who knows?
Yeah, I think you at this point you just pray for them to not get hurt.
Yeah, just
because Steph Catley missed half the season after getting hurt.
Yeah, just put Laura Alloway in a plastic wrap and
or just bench both of them.
Yeah,
just have them both sit on the bench for the championship game.
Do that too.
Then Orlando Pride fans win. You know, Melbourne City may not win, but I mean, that's not our problem.
Yep.
Cool. All right. That's it for Orlando news.
The backline's going to be terrible, but okay.
That's not our problem. MLS and World Soccer news. You remember that whole Gregory Sertich thing that happened back a few weeks ago, months ago?
Oh, yeah.
So he ended up signing with Marseille.
Yep.
For a big number. Don't know the number, but it was a big number from what I was told. It makes sense that Orlando City didn't end up wanting to take up his contract and everything, because the way it went down is that Bordeaux was trying to sell him after the fact that they already agreed to transfer him to Orlando City for no transfer fee. They were just gonna like let him go because his contract was getting up, and so then when they started like reading online, they realized, hey, maybe we can get money for him. And then they did. So that's what happened. And it was a multi-year deal with Marseille. So he's probably never coming to Orlando City.
Probably never. Yep. I would say pretty safe to say that ship has sailed.
It's a bummer too. He was pretty good in FIFA.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
So the U.S. men's national team, they played their first two games under Bruce Arena, the new old head coach. First one was a 0-0 draw against Serbia.
I think I called a draw.
You did. You were the only one to call a draw.
I think I gave him the benefit of the doubt and said both teams were going to score, though, and it was going to be a 1-1 draw. So maybe I was.
You were right, but wrong.
Yeah, I was a little too optimistic there.
And then the second game, they won 1-0 over Jamaica. A nice little goal for Jordan Morris, but not terrible. I mean, you got guys involved that haven't been involved in years, and you got guys involved that haven't ever been involved. So I'd say that's a win, even if they only won one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it leaves a little bit to be desired for, but I've learned at this point to not really expect much from the U.S. men's national team, so a win at this point is just better than nothing.
Yeah, it's fair. Prepare themselves for the upcoming Hex and the games with that, because those are going to be important for qualifying for it. The World Cup in 2018. And that's being held in
Russia.
Yeah.
Well, Trump's going to ask his buddy to see if we can't get in. So I think it'll all be taken care of.
I don't know if soccer matters enough to him, though.
To Putin?
To Trump.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Hmm. We'll cross that bridge when it happens. Let's talk about the Portland Timbers for a second. Two things happened with their club. First, Nat Borcher is retired, so we'll never see that glorious beard again on the field.
Nor my crying Jordan I made of him.
Sad. Such a good Photoshop, too.
Yeah, that was my swan song of crying Jordans. I don't think I've made one since.
Can't top that.
No. I looked at it, I went, it's too perfect, and then I just left.
All right, so he's done after messing up his leg last year. Makes sense. He's over 30, and, you know, time to call it quits. And then Freddie Adu. It looked like he may actually be with the Timbers, and then Caleb Porter came out and said, yeah, we don't have any room for you, which is code name for...
Get lost.
You're not good. Please leave.
It's like, we would make room for you, but no.
Yeah. He's just, I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Funny how that works out sometimes.
Yeah. Where will he go?
Back to Tampa, maybe.
That'll be funny. So yeah, Caleb Porter, not happy with Freddie Adu.
He wouldn't be the first person.
I mean, Caleb Porter's not a very happy guy from what I've seen.
I mean, not since he scored on Brent, but...
He didn't score on Brent. His team scored on Brent.
His team scored on Brent.
The Bowling Green Massacre. It's when he let in four goals. Brent let in four goals against Akron.
Yep.
That was the Bowling Green Massacre. Mm-hmm. So everyone tweeting about it, now you know.
Yep. And Brent appreciates all the funds you've been donating to his memorial.
All right, Howard Webb, the legendary referee from England. He was hired for video assistant referees for pro. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the head of all of that, so he's going to be like the one making the decisions in video review. I'd say that's a pretty good hire. I mean, you hire a former referee that was like considered one of the better referees, and it's hard to consider people good referees these days, because every referee is terrible, you know, depending on who you ask. So yeah, good hire. No complaints about it. Can't wait for him to take the field when everyone else sucks.
Yep.
Robbie Keane, he's in Dubai training for Al Ahly, so probably not going to Atlanta now.
Nope, he's probably gone.
I would have loved to see him in Orlando.
Robbie Keane?
Him and Kyle Larin up top?
Yeah.
Especially in that 4-1-2-1-2.
I was in Los Angeles. I was living in Los Angeles at the time when he first came to Galaxy. And it was kind of interesting because you still had David Beckham. You still had, I mean, Landon Donovan, obviously. So that year when he arrived, they actually won an MLS Cup. And in no small part because of him. He was a leading scorer for Galaxy and one of the league leaders. And did he ever win a Golden Boot for an MLS?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah.
One of the first, like, 3 years he was there.
Yeah, I mean, he was one of those guys that, you know, just he couldn't stick around much with, you know, Premier League teams. He played with Tottenham for a while and sort of looked for a home, and Galaxy were just a great fit for him. So,
I think MLS in general was a good fit for him.
Yeah, he had a pretty decent career here.
Should have stuck around.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's at that point now, I think, where he's kind of in his Drogba years, where it's kind of...
He was still good. He still scored goals. Again, yeah. If he had taken a smaller salary with Orlando and come here and...
Yeah, but when you don't have to.
It's true. Especially when a Dubai team will be like, here's a few million dollars, come play for us. So. Yeah, bummer. We move on. Season tickets. Let's talk about that. LAFC have sold 14,000 season ticket deposits. Atlanta United sold 20-something thousand. They seem to be doing pretty good. And FC Cincinnati has sold 10,000, which is more than a lot of MLS clubs.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure they're one of the teams in MLS expansion, am I right?
I haven't actually looked at that list that they put out, but I would not be shocked. Well, I just remember the big what to do about Sacramento. What was going on there?
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that really quick. So the Sacramento situation, it's been resolved, but a few days ago, the bid for MLS was submitted without the Sacramento Republic or any of the people being involved with it.
That's
and they're like, hey, guys, what the hell? And they're like, what? We can't hear you. And then shit hit the fan and you know, everyone started freaking out. Like, why would you do this? And then no one's going to support MLS in Sacramento if the Republic aren't involved because they're the actual brand that exists in the city already as a soccer team. Like, you're just going to go like, here's a middle finger. We're going to go get a new team without you. Like that.
It's like, it's just as good, right?
Yeah, it's the Sacramento Kings FC. Come see it.
But now I'm just imagining Boogie Cousins getting red carded like almost immediately.
He had 16 technicals. That's unbelievable.
You want to know how many red cards he's going to get?
30. So the cities that are up for MLS expansion. Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Tampa Bay, St. Pete, Cincinnati, Nashville, Tennessee, St. Louis, Missouri, San Antonio, Texas, and, of course, Sacramento. So only one Western area team, basically. And then, of course, you have Miami and Phoenix, Arizona. Those are potentials.
I mean, Miami's always going to be a potential site just because no one's going to say, no, we're not going to put a team in Miami. I mean, it's not going to happen, but they're just always going to say like, oh, yeah, we'll put one there.
So, yeah, Phoenix and Indianapolis also popped in there.
I mean, what's going to happen if like one of those smaller markets comes along and actually has a pretty successful team before Miami does? Like,
They'll get it.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, though, is that it goes from conception to execution to success in the amount of time that it has taken Miami and David Beckham to come to an agreement on what it is exactly that they're going to be doing in Miami and for the league to grant them a franchise.
Basically, yeah.
Like, it's... I don't want to say that the franchise process took a relatively quicker time for Orlando because they had as much success as they did already and because that infrastructure was there and because of what Phil and because of Flavio, but I think Orlando kind of like put their nuts on Miami's chin a little bit because of that.
And then of course the Tampa St. Pete area. The whole like New York City billboard, MLS to St. Pete, and then they're disgusting, throw up, vomit green.
But I kind of get why you do the New York City billboard for Tampa Bay. And it's, you're not marketing directly to your fans. You're marketing to like Yankee fans who are going to be traveling down. Because I believe they do their spring training near Tampa. So they want to get some of those Yankee fans to come out. And I don't know why they want to watch a Rowdies game, but you're going to, I mean, they're, for the most part, they're already NYCFC fans and Red Bull fans. So it's kind of weird, but
yeah.
I get it.
Just be like, hey, you know, baseball's going on, but how about this?
You have that built-in rivalry there because it's AL East, because you have the Rays in town, and, you know, there's...
Why don't they just change their colors to blue and white pinstripes, then? Market to the New York fans.
I don't know.
There you go. I mean, if you're gonna really do it, do it right.
I mean, I see the reasons why you do it, but I don't know if that's something you really follow through with.
True. All right, last thing we'll talk about for MLS stuff, and then we'll go on to weird news. MLS and FIFA 18 might get an upgrade. Apparently, FIFA and EA Sports have been going around to MLS preseason training facilities and face scanning everybody. So a picture surfaced about Sebastian Giovinco getting his face scanned, and like the whole team for Portland getting face scanned, and like
Kyle Aaron actually being the correct race in the game.
That was fixed like a few weeks into the game, though.
Yeah, but
yeah, now he's got a giant afro.
Which he doesn't have.
No, not really. Yeah, no, they need to fix things in that game.
They're like, yeah, MLS was trash.
I mean, at least they're going around and trying to do stuff with it. They're like, yeah, let's do things. Let's scan faces. Maybe they'll scan stadiums now. That'll be exciting.
Nope.
Be nice to have Orlando City Stadium in there.
They might do Orlando City and that's it.
Why only Orlando? Because there's an EA Sports.
Yeah, exactly. It's because it's easy and they don't have to fly anywhere to go do it.
True. That's why Vancouver. You know, I mean, Vancouver's got their stadium there, and that's because Vancouver.
You have EA Tiburon out there.
Exactly. And they're the ones who make the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. I would love seeing Orlando's stadium in the game. They already have Seattle's. I mean, come on.
Well, Tiburon's here in Orlando. But
exactly. They could literally just take. If they really wanted to, they could take the model from the Citrus Bowl from the old Madden games and just, like, throw it in there.
Was the Citrus Bowl in Madden?
NCAA football.
Was it an NCAA?
Yes. Oh. The old, like, old model.
Okay.
Because UCF used to use it as their home stadium.
No. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, weird news. Brad, what you got?
Let's see here. Man told he was just fat has a 130-pound tumor removed. Mississippi man is recovering at a hospital in California after doctors removed a 130-pound benign tumor. For 15 years, the tumor had grown on the man's abdomen until it reached the size of a small adult. Quote, usually at home I would sit and it would just rest on the floor. And doctors for years dismissed it as just fat. And then apparently, doctors believe that the benign tumor likely started because of the growth of an ingrown hair and then grew quickly.
Jeez.
So maybe we're looking at something there that could be, if you're a little fat, maybe it's just a tumor.
Yeah, go get that checked out. So, let's see. There's some good options here. Let's go with this one. Man remanded in custody for having sex with a drain. Because that's what you do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, he denied indecent exposure, outraging public decency, and criminal damage relating to the incident. He is from East London. So, you know, sure.
All right.
Why not?
Some viral marketing for new EastEnders season.
EastEnders having sex with a drain. He's got a court date for next month.
West Ham fans just, you know, not having it right now.
Jeez. They're not having a good time right now at all.
Sex with storm drains.
I mean, yeah. Bonus weird news story. Slow elevator makes things worse for Falcons coaches.
Ugh. It's like Urban Meyer eating that Papa John's on the golf cart after was that in 2013?
Yeah. So after the game, several Falcons assistant coaches, including Kyle Shanahan, were waiting for an elevator to go downstairs, and it never came. So they were forced to walk down a flight of stairs, and then they had to go through the celebrating Patriots fans to get to where they needed to go.
So at one point in the game, the Falcons were winning 28-3. And I know this has been probably talked about places before. And something about when you, I mean, 28 plus 3 is 31, 3-1. Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. Don't ever, ever think anything about a 3-1 lead in anything is ever safe anymore.
Just whenever your team goes up 3-1 in any game,
you're going to lose.
You're going to lose.
You're going to lose now.
So if Orlando City scores three goals after it, the first team, after the other team scores one, just know that you should leave now because you will lose.
Just have that happy thought in your brain because it's going to be gone.
At least you'll know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, you'll just be like, oh, damn it, we're going to lose. All right, well, I'm going home. Don't do that, obviously, but, you know, it will happen. Anyways, let's do an Estrella and Brian Rochez update. Da-da-da-da. Estrella, he's played two games since his last show. Played full 90 minutes in both and did well. He didn't do anything. He's played 12 games and still hasn't scored. And then Rochez, obviously, he's not going to be here very long, so the Rochez update will go away and it'll just be the Estrella update again. Well, maybe we'll keep the Rochez update to see what he's up to.
Nah, it'll probably go away.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, only four games for this week, just because it's supposedly a short show. We're still under an hour. All right, let's do this thing. Liverpool versus Tottenham is our first game we're going to be picking for predictions today. Before we do that, let's go back last week and review. We picked the Bayer Leverkusen Borussia Mönchengladbach game. Borussia Mönchengladbach won 3-2. I was the only one to pick that. Millwall versus Watford for the FA Cup. We all picked Watford because, I mean, you would think a League Two side couldn't beat a Premier League side, but of course, Millwall won 1-0. They are Millwall. Mighty Millwall.
Super Millwall.
Super Millwall. So, none of us got that right. PSG versus Monaco. I picked Monaco, and you guys picked PSG. Monaco won 3-1. U.S. men's national team versus Serbia. 0-0 draw. You were the only one to pick that, Brad. Liverpool versus Chelsea. 1-1 draw. Nobody picked a draw. And Stoke versus Everton. 1-1 draw. And we all picked Everton, so...
Thanks for nothing, Everton.
Gavin was 0-6, and we were better. Not going to say the records, just know that Gavin did not win a game.
Yep.
Liverpool versus Tottenham for this week. Brad, who you got?
Oh, I'm shook right now.
this is like the antithesis of what you would pick as an Arsenal fan.
Well, I mean, I don't have anything against Liverpool.
No, they're just not very good recently.
Yeah, their recent form is
they are January, February usual Liverpool. Like everyone, the early season Liverpool really good. Like, oh, we're gonna win it this year, and then they just die off,
bottle it,
yeah,
and just
They become the usual Liverpool. It must suck being a Liverpool fan because they get your hopes so high and then they dash them so emphatically.
They lost a Hull.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with that?
Sell the team, fire the coach, and move to Scotland.
So just do an MK Dons?
Yes. Hire Stevie G as the coach.
You want to know what Liverpool is in their last five?
0-5.
0-3-2.
Close enough.
Tottenham, on the other hand, are 3-2-0.
Yeah. So Tottenham?
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tottenham too. Manchester United versus your pick to win the entire Premier League, Watford.
Watford.
I'm going to go Watford, too. What are they right now?
They're 10th.
10th. Not bad.
They are a mere... Let's see here. They are a mere 29 points out of first.
Mm. I mean, Chelsea's kind of got that locked down.
They'll catch up.
Yeah, we'll see. There's still some games left.
Chelsea will bottle it.
and then everyone else will bottle it with them.
Yep.
Basically, what will happen
setting
is...
setting the stage for Watford's.
Everything will be completely turned upside down. Leicester City will become the middle of the pack, while... who's in the middle of the pack right now other than Watford?
Guys, can we stop for a second and realize that Leicester are 1 point away from relegation right now?
What happened? Like, honestly. Like, they got rid of Conte and they just sucked. Meanwhile, yeah. Chelsea got Conte and are now top of the table.
Yeah.
Obviously, that is the reason.
That and they got rid of Mourinho.
That helps.
So.
Right, so.
Oscar scored his a goal in a...
Oh, the Chinese?
His debut in China, yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
And then he pulled up two middle fingers that said, F you, Chelsea, on him.
Did he actually?
This is a celebration. He basically pulled out wads of money and just threw him out onto the field.
Ah, love it. All right. Ooh, here's a good one. Oh, this is probably the best matchup of the week that we could pick. Swansea versus Leicester.
Oh.
Swansea's been doing surprisingly well lately, though.
That's... Swansea are out of relegation. If you think about it, Swansea and Leicester are tied on points right now.
That's why I said it's the best game we could pick all week.
It's the EPL game of the week.
Best of the worst.
Fourth officials EPL game of the week. Leicester and Swansea.
Hashtag.
Oh, God. I mean, I'm going to take Leicester.
All right.
But...
I mean, it's not a terrible choice. Like, they can be good.
Yeah. Like, I don't get me wrong. I don't think Leicester will get relegated.
It's very possible, though.
I mean, they probably won't.
I mean, let's face it. Swansea's going to lose. Sunderland, like, there's three teams that are worse than them, especially Hull.
I haven't been keeping up terribly well with the Champions League. Did Leicester get through?
I don't think there's been a game yet.
No. But what I'm saying, though, they got out of the group stage, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we could, in theory, have Leicester get relegated and win the Champions League. At least in theory.
Yes. They play Sevilla.
I mean...
That's on February 22nd. That's when... So February 14th is when Champions League starts back up. That's the round of 16. So they play Sevilla.
It could happen. I mean, but that's the... But that was like the joke last year, was that Chelsea could get relegated and end up winning the Champions League.
Then they didn't. They lost in the round of 16.
Yeah, they didn't.
Sevilla's going to like...
They didn't get relegated and they didn't win the Champions League. Thanks for nothing, Chelsea. Fucking pricks.
Hey, now. All right.
Bunch of Trump-supporting ass team.
Wow.
I mean, when you think about it, though, geographically,
yeah.
Chelsea fans... I mean, they're basically... It's an entire crowd of Jeremy Clarkson. Who is a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, but Jeremy Clarkson's kind of cool.
No, he's an unrepentant dick.
His TV personality is cool.
Sure.
He is a dick, though. Anyway, last game we'll pick. This is a good one. International friendly between Uzbekistan and Armenia.
Uzbekistan? As Herman Cain would say. God, remember when we were so innocent that was something that we could laugh about?
What?
Herman Cain.
Oh, God.
Pizza magnate who ran for president back in 2012.
We were all laughing at him. And then Donald Trump got elected. And no politics.
We were all so young then.
Good times.
Back when our republic was still a republic.
Back when Kyle was still a political reporter. Now he's a video game reporter.
No ethics in games journalism.
No ethics. Anyway, I'm going to pick Armenia because why not? I have no idea. I've done nothing, no research on them whatsoever, but go Armenia.
Yeah, I don't think either one of us really did a lot of research into it. We just went, sure.
It sounded like a fun game to pick.
I based my pick off of Herman Cain, so you know I didn't do any research.
I want pizza now.
Not Godfather's, though.
No. God, no. I want something
good.
Is
there even a Godfather's, like, in Orlando? Like, I mean, I know that probably, but you'd probably have to go on, like, iDrive to go get it.
Yeah. Lake Buena Vista.
Oh, see?
So, like, down near Celebration, basically, and like, you know, where all the touristy places are. That's the nearest one. There's only two, and they're both down in that area. So, yeah. That's just good enough reason for to never go there.
To never go there.
Basically.
What's that little, there's a little local place that Kyle went to.
Oh, the one in Chicago.
A little tiny place called Giordano's. It's a little local place in Chicago. Any of our Chicago listeners, if you're listening, Giordano's, if you look for it, apparently it's good. They definitely don't have any locations anywhere else. So, yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. We got to do like a food review show. Of good food that we eat.
We're just gonna have a separate podcast for food.
No. Just have a segment.
Oh.
Talk about
What did we have to eat this week?
Four Rivers. Always Four Rivers.
I mean, yes. We meet usually at Four Rivers to discuss the show.
Yeah. Well, we've changed it up a few times.
A few times. But usually it's Four Rivers.
All right, that'll do it for this week. We're done. We're trying to cut it under an hour. We failed to do so. Sorry. Guess we'll just have to listen to his ramble some more. Kyle Foley says he'll be back next week. We'll see about that. He says he's going to come into the studio, too. Once again, we'll see about that. Until then, for Brad Newton, my name's Austin David. It's episode 46, all done with. We'll see you next week. They came from somewhere way down in Mexico. Tomorrow